Our gathering hymn this morning is Father, We Praise You. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of announcements. All announcements are printed in the bulletin. They are in the back pages of the bulletin. So please read through those. I'm not going to go through all those. I just had a couple of things to highlight here. On Tuesday, we do have our council meeting, and we are trying something different this month. We are going to be using the GoToMeeting platform. So please check emails if you are on the council. I also sent out another one this morning. So on Tuesday, make sure you've checked. Make sure there's not some last minute emails out there that you may need more information about. There's also printed materials in your mailboxes if you'd rather have it that way. And in our prayers today, we remember the families of William Johnson, whose funeral was on Friday. And then also the family of Lully Copeman. Lully died on Friday, and her funeral will be today at noon at the Westside Cemetery. And I think, Kathy, you've got a couple of announcements.
Just a reminder, Christian Life is having a movie night on Friday, August 21st. We're starting at 6:30 with snacks and some fellowship, and the movie starts at 7. We're going to be watching The Buttercream Gang. It's kind of an old-fashioned movie. I think the kids will really like it as well. So since we are going to be social distancing, wearing our masks, being safe, what we would request is that if you want to come to the movie, there's a sign-up in the back. Please sign your name, and if you're bringing like 5 family members or whatever, please put the number of people from your family that will be attending so that we can make sure to have everything set up and ready to go. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Kathy. Are there other announcements? Anybody else have announcements this morning? If not, then we continue with the greeting and the dialogue. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You are the treasured people of the Lord.
The people of the Lord are our God.
Keep the words of the Lord in your heart. Teach them to your children.
Don't call them in your heart, and in your world, when you might
One does not live by bread alone. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merit of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me.
First lesson is from 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 9. At Horeb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. and after the fire a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and after mouth that has not kissed him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. We'll read Psalm 85 together. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for he is speaking peace to his faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to him. Truly, his salvation is very near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and peace shall be the pathway for his feet. The second lesson is from Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down, or 'Who will ascend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, 'No one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.' But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.'" The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
And I believe Nicholas has a children's sermon for you.
Today's adventure with Jesus starts off with him praying, and it ends up saving Peter's life. Kids, if you don't know, Jesus is in heaven, and he's continually praying for us. I know this because it says so in the book of John. Jesus will eventually come back, and he will save us, just like he did Peter. But that's in the future. Today, I want to focus on Peter and two interesting things that stuck out to me as Pastor Tim was reading the story of Jesus' adventure. The first thing is Peter got out of a boat and he was walking on water. Now, if you know anything about water, if you've been to the beach, if you played with the water hose, or if you've been in a swimming pool, you know that water is always moving. Even when it seems like it's standing still, all it takes is a little coin in the pool, or if you jump in and all these waves start to go, you can see it inside the pool. So water does not stand still. In fact, I think the closest you could ever get to it is, I know some of you are in gymnastics and you go to Victoria to go practice your tumbling skills. If you've been on the balance beam, when you get on there the first time, you have your shaky legs and it takes you a while to get used to it. I think that's what walking on water is like. It takes something to get used to. So Peter, when he gets out of the boat, who's never walked on water, he has shaky knees. What's it like? And remember, the water's moving. And then remember, there's a storm. And also, if there's a storm, there's probably lightning. I don't know if that's true, but it could be. But we do know that there's a strong wind, and the strong wind is pushing him back, and he's got his shaky knees, but he's keeping his eyes on Jesus. So as long as he's keeping his eyes on Jesus, Peter can walk. And then Peter feels a very strong gust of wind, and for that one instance, he takes his eyes off Jesus. And when he does that, he starts to sink. But Jesus catches him and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now that's not Jesus being disrespectful. That's not Jesus saying, "I'm better than you." That's not Jesus saying, "Why didn't you trust me?" That's just him being a father to his child and say, "Hey, I had you. I'm not letting you go." And so Jesus has Peter by the hand, and he's not going to let him go. So if you're in a sea, and you're walking on it, and you start to sink, where are you most likely going to go? Well, to the bottom. If you don't know how to swim, you're going to the bottom. Even if you are a strong swimmer, you better learn how to swim against the current or against the riptide that's coming your way. Because if you don't, you're going to tire yourself out, and you're going to sink to the bottom. But Jesus is there, and he's grabbing Peter, and he's going to hold on to Peter. And no matter what Peter does, Peter is going to live. I know Peter's going to live, because the next sentence says, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. They means two of them. So Jesus picked up Peter, put him back on the water, walked him over to the boat, probably flipped him over, and then they started to worship. So the first thing that I want you to realize today is, number one, no matter how terrible life gets, no matter what storms come your way, no matter how bad life seems to be, always keep your eyes on Jesus. Number two, If you are a man or woman of strong faith, if you have a job like Pastor Tim or myself, if you study the Bible daily, if you don't, if this is your first time listening to this broadcast or this is your first time in this sanctuary, if you are of big faith or a little faith, if you fall, don't worry, because Jesus will always be there. And just like Peter, he'll grab you, he'll hold on to you, he'll walk with you, take you to safety, put you in the boat. And then our job from there is to do what the disciples did. We worship God, we thank God, and we say thank you for our life and thank you for you. So kids, today I want you to remember Jesus will always have your back, Jesus will always save you, and in the middle of the storm, when life goes crazy, Jesus will always be there to protect you. Thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful, fantastic week. Some of you are going back to school, I think next week, so you all have a good first day of school, whenever it is you go back to school. For everybody else, amen, and stay safe.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In my younger years, I used to bicycle ride on a regular basis, several times a week, and I had different routes that I would go to travel, and it depended on how far I'd travel or how much time I had, weather conditions. One of the things that really entered my consideration of which route I was going to take was the direction of the wind, because I always wanted that wind against me when I was leaving home, when I was going away, because that way if I knew if I got tired out, that wind would be at my back coming home and it would push me back to where I belong. Our gospel lesson today is also very much concerns wind. The disciples were caught out on that Sea of Galilee with a storm raging, with the wind blowing them away from the shore. It's interesting how often wind is mentioned in the Bible. It actually shows up in the second verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the wind of God was moving over the face of the waters. Now that word for wind in Hebrew is ruach. And if you read some other Bible translations, it says the Spirit of God is moving over the face of the waters. That word ruach can mean either the wind or it can mean the Spirit. That same word shows up in the second chapter of Genesis, where God had taken the mud of the earth or the clay of the earth and he had formed a human being out of that, and he breathed the breath of God into that human being, and that human being became alive and was filled with God's Spirit. So that word ruach can be translated as wind. It can be translated as spirit. It can also be translated as the breath of God. That word also shows up in our first lesson for today, when there was a wind that preceded God before God came to talk to Elijah. That powerful wind, and it shows that power of that wind. It was strong enough to split mountains and to break rocks into pieces. In the New Testament, the word for wind is pneuma, and it's used much the same way. In the story of Jesus visiting with Nicodemus, there's a play on that words. They're talking about the wind, or Jesus says, you know, the wind comes and it goes, and nobody knows where it comes from or where it goes. It blows where it wills. And he's talking about the Spirit of God at the same time, about that Spirit that you receive in baptism. Again, it shows up in the New Testament as Jesus is dying on the cross. It says, Jesus cried out a loud voice and he gave up his breath. He gave up his spirit. He gave up his wind. It appears a number of times in the Bible. So, and many times we use that word wind in much the same way, such as when you get hit really hard in the chest and they say, oh, he got the wind knocked out of him. Well, what happened? The breath was knocked out of you. Or Maybe the spirit was even knocked out of you because you don't want to get up and go through that again. In the story of Pentecost, the disciples are all gathered in one room, and there was a sound like the rush of a mighty wind. And they were filled with the Spirit. And at the same time, they were given breath to speak in many languages so that they could tell the good news of Jesus Christ. Wind plays a part in our everyday lives as well then too. The wind blows, and after a rainy spell when everything is soggy and wet, the wind helps to dry things out. The wind will also dry things out when we're in the middle of a drought. It can be very destructive in that way, just pulling all the moisture out of everything. The wind feels good. It's refreshing on a hot summer's day, and you sit down in the shade and you feel that puff of cooler air blowing, and it relieves you. A windstorm can be destructive. As we know, we're close enough to the coast where we're affected by the tropical storms and hurricanes that come through here, or there have been tornadoes before, or even just out of a strong thunder shower, sometimes there's wind shear. A couple of years ago, that wind shear blew off the roof of our educational building. The power in that wind. Or the wind can drive a fire, so it's an all-consuming fire that just eats up everything in its path. Or the wind can be very helpful, driving a windmill to pump water to feed the livestock, or even maybe even supply water to your homes, or to run a windmill so that it generates electricity, so it generates power, a renewable source of energy in that way. The wind is helpful, can also be destructive. It is welcoming. Sometimes it can be very annoying. And that is the way the wind works in our lives as well then too. Because we have wind within us and around us and through us. We have that wind, that breath of God that breathed into the nostrils and gave us life. But at the same time, it gives us that Spirit of God because we were created in the image of God. We have those attributes that God have of being able to love, to be able to care, to be able to socialize and to be a part of each other's lives. We have that Spirit of God within us. But destructive winds come in our lives as well then too, blowing us every which way, blowing us in different directions. As Nicholas mentioned in that story, that wind, when Peter saw the wind, when he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the wind or saw what the wind was doing, it scared him and he sunk. Many times things blow our way and it drive us off course. There's so many distractions in our lives. And just as the disciples were pushed further and further away from the shore, they were being pushed further and further away from Jesus. The winds drive us against Jesus as well, or away from Jesus. But we also have that wind of the Holy Spirit. That wind of the Holy Spirit which calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies us, pulling us back to Christ, blowing us back into the direction of where we need to be, blowing us back onto that path. A wind can carry a sailboat to any shore around the world. And that Holy Spirit can pull us back to Jesus. That Holy Spirit blows us back. In this story is actually a continuation of last week. If you remember from last week, Jesus had just heard that John the Baptist had died and he needed a quiet place to pray. And so the disciples and Jesus got in the boat, went across the lake, and when they came to the deserted place, it wasn't deserted because there were whole crowds. People saw where Jesus was going. Jesus had compassion on them and stayed the whole day with them, healing them, speaking with them, giving them words of comfort. At the end of the day then, when everyone was hungry, Jesus fed them. He fed them with just a few fish, a few loaves of bread, and much more was left over. At the end of the day, that's when this story picks up. Jesus finally has his time to go and pray, to find that desolate place. We too need to find that quiet place. In our first lesson today, that's when God appeared. There was that rush of mighty wind that came, splitting mountains and cracking rocks. And there was a fire, or earthquake first then, that shook the whole earth. But God was not in the wind. He was not in the earthquake. And then there was a rush of fire, and God was not in that fire. It was not until it was deadly still, completely still, that they heard that voice of God. We need that quiet time as well then too. That quiet time where that Holy Spirit is able to enter into us, to blow into our lives, so that we can visit with God the Father through Jesus Christ. We have many winds in our life. We have that Spirit of God in our lives. We have winds that blow us away. But we are always called back to Christ once again. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, "Lord, Take My Hand and Lead Me." In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him, and our hearts are sealed with the promise of the Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church, the world, and for one another. Holy God, send your church into every corner of the world to preach the gospel of salvation through Christ alone. By your Spirit, give it humility to stand in awe before your holy majesty. Give it faith to call upon your holy name, and give it courage to proclaim your holy word with faithful clarity. Lord, in your mercy. Give such endurance and faith to all who are persecuted for being Christians, that even their tormentors might repent, call upon your name, and be saved. We also pray for your missionaries throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy. Protect this congregation from storms of contention, controversy, and confusion. Shelter us in your arms and help us to trust in your guidance. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this congregation, for those who are new to this community, for students and teachers preparing for a new school year, and for those struggling with unexpected hardship. Supply us generously with your grace for our life together. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our world and its people, that you would shield us from natural disasters and man-made catastrophes. Storms, floods, tornadoes, droughts, disease, and earthquakes threaten many lives, and human malice, greed, and violence destroy many more. Speak your word of peace upon the troubled earth and every human heart. Lord, in your mercy. There are so many people whose lives are shadowed by suffering. Grant them health, hope, guidance, and the joy of your presence in their lives. We pray especially for Susan Kelly, Mary Jo Warren, and the families of William Johnson and Lily Copeman. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks, O God, for the saints of the whole church from all times and places, and for the saints of our lives and in our community whom we have gathered to yourself. Lord, in your mercy. All this we ask, dear Father, in the power of your Spirit. Receive our prayers and grant all that is in accordance with your holy and gracious will, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering.
us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in the divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is "Eternal Father, Strong to Save." Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.